come up slung. And then Elizabeth. Where's Elizabeth? Ah, come slung up. Just discuss, actually, I felt that parts of this morning would be for some of us a watering on seeds, on desires that you have had, and that God really wants to water. So I want to ask you to open your heart for that. But Elizabeth's got a testimony that I feel links up with what we have on our hearts. So Elizabeth, you want to come and just share?
Sure. I'm so blessed to be here in front again. To share again, it's so nice to see God being busy, because I'm so busy at work, but it's just amazing how God, he's just also busy. I'm actually too busy, I realize. So backtrack a bit. I was also a TMT student, so I got saved radically, and I just wanted to go into ministry, so I also went to Bible school with this plan. I'm going to do Bible school. I'm going to meet my pastor, husband there, we're going to go plant a church in the nation. Yes, I had it all planned out. And then I finished my degree, and the husband didn't come, and I started to work at TMT, and the husband didn't come. And then God had to speak to me about the plans that he has for me. It looks a bit different than that I have. And he started to speak to me about going into corporate world and not going to be in full-time ministry like the picture I had in my head. So I was really, I thought I missed it somewhere. The whole time as my friends and their pastor husband start linking up, I had this thing, I missed it somewhere. I wasn't good enough for this. And so I went into the corporate field. Oh, I said to the Lord, okay, if I have to go, let it be something creative, like flowers, because I always love flowers, and God honored that so amazingly, how he just opened up the door. And now, 7 years later, I'm journeying my walk with flowers. But, so that was the back. So, the whole time in my head, God's using me, and I have amazing testimonies, but somewhere the lie came in that I wasn't quite good enough for what I thought, what I really thought was the plans that God had for me, but somewhere I missed it. So fast forward this week, we had 3 weddings. So it was a crazy week. And one of the weddings was in the middle of the week. And I was at the venue, standing on a ladder, doing the art. And there was this guy, and I started to chat to him. And the conversation went in over to speaking about the Lord. And it ended up me praying for him. And when I ended praying for him, he had this glow. There's something so beautiful when somebody encounters the living God. And it was just so beautiful. And we finished that wedding. We went back to our studio to start prepping for the next wedding. And we're a team of 4 people, so we're in the studio working. And the other girl said, we started chatting about this, and one said, you just have this natural gift of speaking to people and ministering to people. And I'm like, oh, no, man, it's because of Bible school. And in that moment, God's always so funny with me. He's like, but aren't you the Bible school failure? And something just dropped in my heart that God prepared me to be that florist, to stand on a ladder in the middle of the week encountering a person, for him to receive something from the living God, a touch from God. He probably won't be in church today, but he was in the middle of the week at a venue, and God encountered him. Yeah, it was so amazing. And God just said, God is using me. And now you guys think, okay, but because one of my colleagues said, but it's so difficult for her to speak to people. She doesn't know how to start that conversation, or she sometimes feels it, but she's too shy. So I just want to say that conversation with the guy started by me asking him questions. I just started engaging, throwing out the hooks till he took one bite, and he had an encounter with the living God. And I want to encounter you guys. If you are shy, or the best practice that I've discovered is when you go to a shop or put in petrol, to just engage with that person in front of you. And you don't even have to ask questions. bless them. Do you know how many times when I stand in front of a person, Pedro Yohiotikul at the till, and I say, may God bless you. May He protect you. May He provide your every need. May He be with your family. Because I've realized that it's either me encountering that people or an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy them. So let's, and we have God, so we have that power. When we even just bless them, not even praying, just, my God, be with you this week. May He protect you. Then I believe God's putting a protection where an enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
Thank you. Beta sent me a voice message, and you know, we all have our different challenges, but this one for Beta, we joked, we said there were lots of tears in the process, because somewhere that lie came to lodge in her heart, and it was so strong that she felt that I'm not, and how God comes by His Spirit. And He does that. And we're singing here, you know, there's no mountain too high, or there's no this that God would not. God would send somebody through Bible school, all the years, all of that, and get them through all the struggles, just so that He can send them to one person. And we've got to be convinced of His love for us personally, and then for the guy next door, down the street. And that God wants to use us. And I think that's something of that this morning, that the love of God would not just come to us, if I can say, in a personal way of where you might have a dream or so, but He also comes to us, His love comes to us through people sent to Malawi. You know, white is into a very black culture, into another language, into another, to in some way come and reveal this heart of God, where there is no Jew nor Greek, where there is no male nor female, no slave nor female. It's one in Christ, and God has got His creation, where He would send us to Namibia. In that way, He will make a way. The question is, do you and I want to be in that way? Of part, and not a negative be in His way, but be in His way of what He wants to do. And isn't that what we fasted and prayed for? It's the ways of God. And there's some way of where it's information or it's teaching, but then there's a living way of God, how He wants us to live. And that is where every single one of us are ministers, are full-time people, full-time preachers or so. If you're a business person, if you're a mother or a father, if you're single, if you're every single one has got that opportunity. His love is too great not to include us in that. And so we want to just give a brief feedback about Namibia. First of all, thank you so much for the prayers, the investment, financially, encouragements, messages that were sent. It was really a blessing. And we went there with not just, you know, a few teachings. We actually preached very little because we were a group of five couples. We were the only family kind of together, and so everyone kind of had opportunity. They were all church leaders, so we didn't preach that much necessarily, but we came into people's houses, we came into leaders' meetings, we came into, and as a family, as a couple, as individuals, we were able to sit with people. And most of our encouragement, most of our ministry and answers to was your lives. This is what we do at home. This is how God is working us. This is what God has shown us. We've got this friend. We've got this personally. And often Ina and I would be somewhere on a very far dirt track because everything, you know, it's om die draai as dat's 200 kilometer weg. That's om die draai. And we would be far, and then we would think, yes, if we leave Dirk and Lisa here, they will never go back home. Because this is, or if we have Fritz and Ake, if we would have your faces, like, yes, they would so connect so well with these people. So I hope that even over this morning, that in some way you would think, hey, maybe I can go. Maybe I should go. And that Namibia is, I almost want to say, a close enough country where it's easy to go. But the Lord needs to send. So we started off, we just want to highlight a few of the people and just the places we went. But we went to Kitmanswip. That's in the southern part, Mariental. And there's Aranos and there's Stamprit. And then we went to Windhoek. And then we went to Swakopmund. And all these areas are churches who are relating with 412. And for those of you who don't know, 412 is our partnering churches. So with a number of churches across the world, we have took hands and we said, we want to partner together for the gospel's sake. We want to support one another into your area where you are working and see God's kingdom come. And we know, and as Anthony was just saying, those guys who stick, if you're there, just the hit and runs, it's good and it can help, but it doesn't last long. And so we want to work with people that are there so that which gets built, people can come into that family and they can really be discipled, really move forward. And so it was so wonderful to get to these places and find a similar heart. And they different backgrounds, Meesters Afrikaans, but similar hearts, and people of like, hey, we've got the same father. So I'm going to have Ina share a few stories, and then I might touch. Yes, I've got. So our first place, Kitmans, that was Jaco and Erika. They lead there in Kitmans. They've been leading now about, 3 years? And wonderful to see what God is busy doing. It's always difficult, but there's some beauty. You want to just share some of the
I'm good, but I'm not that good. with Namibia, one of the people said something that stuck in my heart, and I think it'll be a theme in my heart every time I think of Namibia, was obviously it's been very dry the last 8 years, and then last year it started to rain there. And then one of the men there said to me, Namibia is a baie dankbare plek. It's a very thankful place. So even if there is only a few drops of rain, there's produce, and the land just, you know, gives it, and grass, and it's amazing. And I felt that when he said it, I felt that is like the people here. Is the smallest bit of encouragement is like water on a dry soul, and you can just see them coming through hurt, or just, you know, getting breakthrough. And they are not overly preached at, or you know, you can get some people like, yeah, they've heard absolutely everything, they've been prophesied for every Sunday since they can remember. So, you know, when they get a prophecy, when they get a word, it's cool, but it's not like someone who hasn't had anything for 8 years. Do you understand? So, you are so humbled when you just say a kind word and you see these people tearing up, and you know, and most of the time. Our obviously run preach, but there was enough other men that could also preach. The preaching part of it wasn't the main part of the ministry happening. It was drinking coffee together, hearing their story, their testimony, encouraging them, and you know, sometimes I've spoken to some of you and you feel like, yes, I can't preach, so it's sort of useless for me to go far. But the preaching is like an hour in the week. You understand? Where the getting together and drinking coffees is happening the whole day. So technically, if we just, like Elizabeth said, change our idea, our perspective of what ministering to a heart is, we would feel like we are the main ministers. You know, we did the whole thing, the prayer, the prophecy, the whole thing. So I just wanted to say that, and it's a gratefulness. You can just feel the gratefulness in the people. It's a hard land. The land physically and the people, they've seen some real difficulty. So just, you know, you feel it in your heart. Then in Kitmans, there's this one lady and her husband, Noni and Paul. And they're this old couple in their 60s, I think 66, 68. And they, they look even probably, they're not, I'll tell you now why I'm saying that, why I felt well. So for them to come to church on a Sunday, it takes them just over 2.5 hours drive. nee? Dirt road. And she has to open 23 gates. Open, he drives through, she closes it. They go further, she opens it, he drives through 23 times, nee? On a Sunday. And then when they come back, she has to do that again. All right. And she never complained. I mean, I just asked her, where do you live? And she explains, but and she said, yeah, when it was so dry the last 8 years, the only prayer, one of the main prayers she had with her husband is that they won't die so many of their livestock so that they can just have enough money if they sell one or two of the sheep that they have petrol to come to church. Because all their staff, everyone they had to lay off, there's no one in miles. No one. They live alone on this farm. They do the work because there's not money to help anyone. And she was just, if we could just get to church on a Sunday, if we could just get into to speak to the people. And, you know, that's just such a different way of thinking about things. And, I mean, they were one. And they weren't the extreme guys. There were many others with very similar stories of really, really putting it out there to get to church and so forth. Or just get to one another and get to people. Okay, and then we went to Marintal and Aranos. And in Aranos, there is Shaul and Joe that's leading there. We had a home cell, a combined com type of thing. And we all had to pray. We prayed in a few.
Sorry, I just want to interrupt there. So they asked me to lead the community that night, or the home cell, and for some reason, I had no clue what to say. I had like a big message that I thought, yes, and then all of a sudden, everything. And I'm like, yes, you know, ek weet nie wat om te sê nie. I mean, still till 10 minutes before, and I don't have a clue. So now, we're first going to eat. So I'm like, okay, well, Lord, what do you want me to say? I don't know. I don't have anything. And then I says, listen, I feel God's just going to let you. So I'm like, okay, I hope you hear from the Lord. Because we sat there, and now I'm like, okay, now what now? And then I start feeling to speak about the room that God goes to, that Jesus said, I go to prepare a room for you. And the sense of that there's place for everyone in his kingdom and in his house. And then, and so I was like, Lord, I hope somebody finds, that they find the room. And then, you know.
Yeah, so we had a chance to say also where we see one another, you know, as a place in that. So now I have this little group of mostly old ladies because it's, I don't know, so the minute you're 20, you go, okay? So it's really. But in my group, there's this one lady that's about 40 and her daughter, you know, 45, and her daughter that's in her teens. So I'm like, yeah, at least I have someone to connect with a little bit, and the other five old ladies. And we did the whole thing of, do you have a place? And at some stage, I just felt, in the eating time, this one woman was sitting, it was also awkward because I didn't know where to sit. And so I just sat there and made small talk, which is very uncomfortable. If you know me at all, I would prefer to eat in the kitchen, really, really. But I was stretching myself out there, and I sat there and I asked the questions, my answer. And then she just, you know, when sometimes in someone's life, you just had a little hook and then it bursts. And at some stage, she says, I can't believe I'm telling you all this. I'm like, I can't. Wow, and me too. But so basically what she just started to say is she landed up at this old lady's house. This lady is her husband that is in America, me. Is like aunt, but like removed. So I'll tell you now how she landed there. So in 2019, she and her husband and her twins moved to USA with the idea that if the year ends, she will come and fetch her older daughter that's in her teens to move with them, right? So they settled there for like 8 months, and she flew back to catch her daughter at the end of 20. So they would have flown back 2020, I think in March. Boom, boom, and there's COVID, and she can't return. She can't return to the USA because of their visas, everything. And now she's with her daughter, her twins, who are 7 at that stage, so they're 8 now, and her husband, they just moved countries. They're trying to fix things there. She can't return. And she's only back now, but I'll tell you now what happened. So at some stage, she says, she's crying. She says, my one of the twins, the boy, said, Mommy, I don't believe you want to come back to us anymore, because I mean, it's been a year and she's just not returning. And everything didn't work. Obviously, they didn't have any money because she only had so much to come back. She had to start finding small jobs, and at some stage, she ended up even in a squatter camp for a week because there was just no one to help them. So you can imagine, this woman is, she's just flawed. And then they got a little loophole in the system that America won't allow people to fly from South Africa into the country, but there is a way that from Namibia they can fly to another country and from that country back. So that only started to work out after we prayed. So then at some stage I prayed with her and I asked her, do you feel you have a place in the house of God? You know, have you ever, you know, and she's like, no, she's never prayed. She's never, and I couldn't, because number one, some are Afrikaans, you feel at least I've been churched, sort of, you know. And she was just so, no, I've never done this. I've never understood really how this thing works. And I prayed with him, and personally, I don't like it if people come over too strong. I'm sensitive to people that's pushy. So then I said to her, okay, you don't have to do it immediately. Are you sure you want to give your life to the Lord? Because it's easier. I give my life and then tomorrow you just do whatever you want. So she said, no, I really need God. So I prayed with him, prayed with her daughter. Then I explained baptism because I didn't know if there will be someone that ever, and I don't know, is going to explain to her because she might just, you know, go to the next house. And she's like, I want to be baptized tonight. So we drove to Shaw's house. Get a bath full. Now she comes. Now she's from obviously another farm. You know, it's far. So she only has this class. Now, between all the women there, we're trying to get clothes that can get wet between, you know, for her and her daughter. Now, because I'm so afraid she's going to just back out because it's the same demigod. We get clothes for her and she pulls me aside. She said, listen, this baptism thing. I'm hydrophobic. I had a near drowning incident, and I mean, I don't even bath. I am terrified of water. Okay, don't worry about it. I promise you, I'm not gonna push your hair down. We're gonna work this thing out. Okay, and then so first we baptized her daughter because I was afraid if the mom has a complete meltdown, then you know it will just make the whole thing. Eat your food, Vanilla. Well, oh, anyway. So we baptized the daughter. It was this amazing moment. And then she climbed in. And we firstly prayed for this fear of water. And just rebuked that thing and everything. And she went under and up. And she was more surprised about her not freaking out under the water than what she was about being baptized. And it was just such a powerful moment. And then she said, oh, and I felt the Lord said to me, I must tell her, he's going to do an amazing miracle for her to be able to go. And she will have this testimony. Yeah, come on, by my son. She will have this testimony that it is the Lord that brought her to her children, because it was just closed doors for her to get there. And then she sent me a WhatsApp earlier this week that said they've gone through all the COVID things, they've gone through all the drama, and she's now at the first place where she can isolate on her way to her husband. So pretty much she's like 3 days away from them. So then she said, I really believe the Lord. No, I can tell people that after I've met the Lord, the enemy's strategies were just lifted and I can move through.
A beautiful story, I think, there. Thanks, Francisco. Just of how, and really, oftentimes things in Namibia feels very far and out. And here, God links this lady. She goes through all these turmoil and difficult things, but he saves her soul, and he brings, and the fact that she, I mean, that night they got filled by the Spirit. The house was buzzing, everyone was there singing, and it was a beautiful evening, and God had room for her in his house. After that, we went to, it's not Gebabis, actually, Vintuk just at the bottom, Andre and Janine leads there, crowded house. Vintuk is way more cosmopolitan and more city like there, and so the other places, it was just, we didn't have coffee and tea together, we had choppies and vors together. Vintuk is more a coffee and tea together, but beautiful church, very multicultural. We got some of our old people that were with us in Wellington, Annalie and her husband, and some other people that were in Stellenbosch. So it's amazing how the church, people in the church, they find a place where they can go and then go and invest their lives. And then from there, we went to Swakopmund. Jaco and Lillian in Swakopmund, they planted a church in December or January. So just now, in COVID time, planted a church. There's already quite a home group meeting there. Swakopmund is a beautiful little town, those of you who've been there. We struck the Oosveer, those of you, I don't know how many of you, but it's like a Wellington Paul summer wind. But it's wind, yeah. Instead of just hot, it's a wind from the desert that comes and it blows. And nobody's got any fans because it happens once in a blue moon. Only when we go and reach out there. Yes, it was the most uncomfortable just living setup because of the heat. Nothing else. And this was in some way supposed to be the kind of, now we're closing down, we just a little bit of relaxing. It didn't happen. And they also started to show some COVID symptoms and some others as well. And so the way back started, and it was quite uncomfortable, but our hearts are full. The fact that we had our children with us was, for some people, a huge ministry, just being able to come together. It's uncomfortable. There was a week that every night we were sleeping in another house. The morning, you're up at 4, back, get sorted, and then drive. So it comes with its discomfort. But the reward, in the sense of being part of God's work, seeing the what people are going through, praying with people, and not just us, the children as well, playing together and as families coming together, everyone needs that. And I want to encourage you to ask God, say, God, use me. We can't force doors open or so, but I know that as we make ourselves available, that God can use us. And that is maybe in Namibia, maybe in another country. It is here. It is when others come from, in June, we're looking at some people from the Worcester Church congregation there coming over for just over a weekend. It's you hosting them and being a blessing to them. It's as we connect in that way. And so the platform on the stage ministry is important, but it's the most important is that lives being shared. And God really has that in His way. He shares His life. He doesn't just give it to us and say, go and I'll see you at the end. No, He wants to do it with us. He shares His life. And part of that in the church is we share life, as we share our testimonies, as we share our difficulties, all those things. It brings a sense of encouragement and a stichting. I've got so many Afrikaans words in me this morning. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get all the English words back again. But omekaar te stig. That's a beautiful, edifying and encouraging one another. So thank you so much. And I know I speak on behalf of them as well. Thank you for sending us in that. And next time, let's do it. Let more go. Let's find ways to go and make disciples. Be it here, be it in Hermanus, where Sean and a small team was. We really believe that more and more of that needs to take place, and it's going to be beneficial for those people and for you. Because as you go, God changes and challenges you. I had a picture, but I thought that's going to get long. But this one picture of the worship leader, one night we were in what they call the Oostblok. It's close to, but in any case, it's way close to the border. And this, it's a lodge, so you're worshiping God, but there's this lion and there's this a leopard, and so all these stuffed animals over your head, and the worship leader is full on khaki with these, you know, and it's beautiful to see how God's kingdom, He comes into the culture. He doesn't deny our cultures. He doesn't deny the English, the Afrikaans, or the Sotho, or the Xhosa. So he doesn't deny this gospel, but he comes in and he redeems it to make it beautiful for him. And so together, we reveal something of the beauty of God. It's for all of us. And so I want to briefly just touch on that on Mother's Day. This thing of like mother, like children. We oftentimes hear like father, like son, but like mother, like children. And we're gonna look at this verse. It says, "But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother." And so we have our Father in heaven. Your mother is Jerusalem above, and you'll see how it how it works now. Okay, so Galatians 4, and actually before we read in there, Paul has been writing this letter of the Galatians because the Galatians were non-Jews who started to believe in Jesus. Now, some of you have read Asterix and Obelix, those cartoons, or you've seen. Now, the Gaul was close by there, and it's kind of, it depicts that kind of people. These weren't refined Jews that had this rich history of walking with God, all the laws. No, they were rough, tough. They ate boar. They had druids. They had all these weird, and they get born again, and they get saved into the kingdom of God. It's by faith. It's by the Spirit of God, and so they don't have all these laws. They don't have this mindset of you've got to do bring this sacrifice and cleanse yourself in that way and, you know, to get your hands clean in this way and then you are acceptable to God. They had nothing of that. But some of the Jewish believers and especially Pharisees, Sadducees, they heard about the kingdom of God coming in. Galatians said, just, this is too good to be true. It can't be that, can I say, easy. By just believing in God, no, they've got to circumcise. They've got to have these festivals. They've got to do this and that. And so they brought in these traditions of men and the old covenant. And the Galatians were like, they were new Christians. Oh, is that what we... Oh. And subtly a performance and a very legalistic faith started to come in, where belief in Jesus and faith in Jesus Christ and the fact that He forgives us and that He gives us His Spirit is not enough. You've got to also do a bunch of things. And Paul at some stage writes and says, I'm not preaching to you my gospel. This gospel, it's not man's gospel. It's God's gospel. And so for us, as we consider what we're doing here in Paul, and as we go, it's not our gospel in the sense of we came up with it, mankind. No, this is God's good news. This is God's message to us. I forgive you. I love you. There's no mountain. There's no lie big enough. There's no, I want to pour out my love and see you restored, and I've got room for you. And so Paul comes in, but he's in one sense, he wants to encourage the Galatians, but he's also mad at these other guys, and he's mad at the guys that are believing. And he says, you want to get circumcised? Chop alles summa af, man. They are dogs, and they are this, and he's strong in it. And then he starts to speak about a few examples in the Old Testament. He speaks about Abram, because most of the Jews linked, they said they are the children of Abram, but the law and the old covenant came in through Moses, if you've read the Old Testament. And Moses brought in, and it was God's way at that stage. He needed to renew their minds. He needed to build a new nation, but that wasn't the final destination. It wasn't the final way. He always wanted them to walk by faith. And so Moses brought in all the laws. So the Jews are like, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. And Paul writes and says, guys, remember the first person that was called righteous in this way was Abram. Said he believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And so he speaks about Abram and he says, Abram had two wives, Hagar and Sarah. And now he wants to use this picture of Hagar and Sarah for them to understand how faith works and how the promises of God works. And here we get to what we're reading. It says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And so this is the aim. It says we need to see Jesus formed in you. As we speak into one another's lives, as we encourage one another, as we correct one another, as we lead as elders, this is the aim, to see Christ formed in your life. You as the person that God has created you needs to be unique, but you need to become like Jesus, like everyone else. He says, this is I am. Okay, so Christ to be formed. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. That example of Hagar is a heading. It says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law. You've heard now all these other guys speaking. Now you want to desire to be under the law. It says, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abram had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. How many of you remember that story? God comes to Abram and Sarah, you're going to have a child. By a man prophesies over. Next year, this time, you're going to. Sarah laughs because she's as old. She's older as the ladies that Ina spoke of. She's like, I can't have a child. And our man says, next time this year, you will have a child. But they get impatient. And when we are impatient, we take matters into our own hands. When we take things in our own hands and we want to do what we feel is right in God's eyes, was naked up. All right, so that is the flesh. And Sarah had a great idea. She says, listen, Abram, God said we're going to have a child. It's obviously, it needs to happen, but it's not going to happen through me. Go with Hagar. Go with this slave woman. And he has a child through her. He's called Ishmael. Today, the most Muslims and Arab nations, and they all war again. But this was the flesh. So she was from the slave. And then he goes on and says, but the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, own works, taking God's promises into our own hands, taking his will into his way. We're not doing it his way. We're doing his will our way. And he says, born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. And God was faithful. Yeah, that's mercy. God says, you gave a little in your eye under and fat, oh, hat, do not your eye down. No, he doesn't leave them like that. He says, Isaac still came and was born because of the promise of God. God's word said. And this is most of the times for us very difficult. God says something, but everything looks impossible. And then we try and work something about. And here God wants to establish. He said, I said it, it will happen. Now, can I just say that there are some prophecies that has an if connected to it. So God said to the Israelites, I'm going to take you into a promised land. Only obey me. Then there was a generation that did not go into the promised land. Was God unfaithful to his promises? No. He still took the Israelites as a nation into the promised land, but those who believed went in. All right? So God wants everyone to be saved. Those who believe can enter into salvation. And so here he says, all right, this son was born through promise. He is from the free woman. So now Paul is using these two women as an allegory. Now I'm not going to go into what all of that means, but basically he wants them to see is, hey, you need to choose. Are you from the slave woman that does everything from the flesh that wants to do God's ways, God's will in your own way, or from the promise woman, God's will in God's way. So this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants, twee verbonden. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. So now, you need to understand that he's not now just speaking about the Muslims. He says every person that wants to follow God on his own terms or man's terms, according to man's ways, is from Hagar. Now, Hagar is in Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem. She speaks of the people who is according to the law. That makes sense? Okay, according to the ways that in our own strength we can become justified. He says, no, we can't. So she corresponds to a slave, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above, that's the scripture we read, is free, and she is our mother. She says, now, this heavenly Jerusalem, this the people of God, the nation of God, many scriptures that you would think of now is probably 1 Peter, where it says, 2 Peter, where it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to, that's the spiritual Jerusalem. So God used Jerusalem on earth as a picture of something that He actually wants to bring in the heavenlies, in the spirit. That's His people. And those people can only be His by faith, by believing in Him through Jesus Christ. Says, they are the free. Says, for it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Says he reminds them of their identity. You didn't come to God based on your works. You didn't come to God like Sarah said, hey, go to Hagar and work it. You didn't come to God on your own ways. You didn't have the great idea, maybe I should give my... No, it was a revelation of God. It was the promise of God that He gave to Jesus Christ that says, in you all will be blessed. I'll give you, ask of me the nations and I will give it to you. It was a prayer of Jesus, His promise, through you, you are the Savior. You are the captain of our salvation. Paul says, you are that. The church in some way looked barren. There was no way that you can be born again except by the work of God. And that's what he wants to establish. No work, no sacrifice outside of Jesus. None of that can bring forth the new creation. It is by God. And if it is by God, then the life is also by God. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as that, at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. So he's saying that mindset and that thing is still. Yeah, but you must. Yeah, but you must. Yeah, but you must first do this. And I think we are not confronted with a Jewish legalistic mindset anymore. We are not persecuted by that. But we are persecuted in our hearts by, are we good enough? Do we have all the hallelujahs and the gifts? Are we mature enough? Am I married or not? You know, am I single or not? You know, there are all these different lies. I don't have enough money. I don't have this. I don't have that. And it persecutes your mind in such a way that you disqualify yourself. And this morning, together with our testimony, I want to say it is open. The doors are open to minister for God. Hear what we see from this free woman, our mother, Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. She's free. It's the covenant of peace in Christ. It says when we become one with Jesus, when we are forgiven, when we are saved, we have peace. The enmity is gone. We sang this morning, when we were enemy with God, He loved us. And so it says you now have peace. And that peace is not just so that we can say, oh, it's so nice to be with Jesus. No, the peace is there so that we can establish and work in the kingdom of God. When it's wartime, you don't build. You protect. And that. When it's peacetime, you build. Jesus wants to advance. And in some way, peace is a very, very strong warfare as well, because peace is above. It says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. You want to overcome the devil? Walk in the peace of God. Bring the peace of God. Find the peace of the Lord. When there's peace, it triumphs. There is lots of offspring. When we read there, there's lots of offspring. It says, single barren woman, you'll have way more. And this is the miracle of the gospel, is that in a people who could not please God, mankind who was unable to please God through their actions, they were sinful by nature. They missed the mark. We missed the mark. God came and brought his and bore his offspring. That is the mystery of the gospel. Colossians says, what is this mystery? It's that now it's no longer just the Jew that has the promises. It's everyone finds the glory of Christ in us. It's the glory of Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. It's not just living a better life, getting breakthrough in your finances. And although that's important, that is not the gospel. It's getting breakthrough in your life and in other people's lives so they can be eternally sorted and prosperous. And he says, hey, this heavenly Jerusalem, that is what you are part of. Don't allow the disqualifications of the world that is based on merit, that is based on what you have or do not have, on how much you earn or do not earn, on what gender you are or this or that. Don't let that disqualify you. You're part of the free woman. You are a child of the free woman. Your mother, Jerusalem. Okay? Please hear me. I'm not bringing in a new doctrine that we're going to pray to Mother God and all sorts of that. It's the picture here, ne? The offspring is according to promise, the divine work of God's Spirit through the gospel. Man, I think more and more what we need to remind ourselves is by the Spirit of God. I might work on my eloquence and I could, but unless God does a work in my heart and in your heart, we will not move forward in the kingdom of God. That was what was so beautiful for me that night, is I didn't know what to say. I knew I must say something, but I didn't know what to say. And I'm wrestling. And so I said, Lord, by your Spirit, help me. And he confirms it by saving a lady's life. I mean, she had all the reason to be offended with God. In a shack, in a squatter camp. Nothing is working out. Nothing is this. Nothing is that. And some of us feel like that. Nothing is working out. Everything is just, you've got obstacles everywhere. But you are part of the free woman. Jerusalem is our mother, the heavenly Jerusalem. No obstacle. And there will be persecution. There will be suffering. Some people in the church would say, yes, we come back. Ina gets COVID, and she was really sick. I was breathing. If your wife starts breathing like that, And some would say, yes, what kind of thanks is that for going and preaching the gospel in Namibia? But we just don't have that theology. It's like bad stuff can happen. Things can, but it's the kingdom of God. That's what we are, children of promise. And it's not about the earthly. And although we need to pray for things and we need to get breakthrough and we want to walk in health and we want to walk in these kind of things, that is not the primary determiner of what God wants to do. It's his word. It's his gospel. And you and I are called for it. You're called at your job, like Elizabeth was saying this morning, colleagues, family, year in our midst. It's beautiful for me to hear how God is adding people to our lives and to the church. We've got to move. People need to be born again. Not come into a group, a club that doesn't swear, that don't abuse their children, they don't abuse their wives or their husbands. They don't cheat on their taxes. They don't. That is the legalistic, like, as long as you don't. That's not the kingdom of God. It might include those things, but there's an advancing, there's a kind of life that God is looking for, and it's an obedient life. It's a life that listens to His voice. It is a life that follows His Spirit, and that can only happen by the Spirit. You can not do a lot of things out of your own strength, but you can't follow God in your own strength. You can't live a godly life. And that is this morning. You know what, today, some of you got the message that today in the nation through the news outlets, they called for a national day of ancestral worship and kind of calling up all the grandfathers and so to bless South Africa. We know that's not a blessing. Yeah. So yesterday, and if you got the message, most of the Church of God prayed, Body of Christ prayed. But we can't just pray against things. Parents, raise a godly child that will live godly, and he will change the atmosphere of this country. Raise a leader that can think and follow God. Be the person. That is the advancing of the kingdom. We've got to live, and the world will not go well. But we are part of the heavenly Jerusalem. And that is what, at the end, Jesus wants to point. He says, look at them. A city within a city. A nation within a nation. A people within a people group. And that's the same how it was in Exodus. You know that where it was dark all over, and there was just light with the Israelites? It says they were within the camp of the Egyptians, but nothing happened to them. And it's that same picture that God wants to use. Is the people of God finds His blessing within the turmoil and within the difficulties. And when people look, it's like, why is it different? Because they follow God. Can we be that? Can we be that? Yes, we can, if we follow God. Amen. So next time, as the week goes on, this afternoon, some of you are seeing family. Be the blessing. Tomorrow you're seeing colleagues. Be the blessing. And it might be that God gives you different things. You don't always have to say something, but be the blessing. Wednesday, we're going to get together as communities. Be the blessing. Don't just go to receive and God loves me alone. No, He loves you as well, and I can share something. Be it just as Beta said, may God bless you. May it just, if it's just that, give that. But give what you have. Because in that, it multiplies. When people come to come and be with us as an outreach or as a, come and encourage the congregation, invite and host. And let's be a blessing. That is our platform. That we can live what God wants us to do. Amen. So come, let's close our eyes. Father, I just thank You that Your gospel is so powerful. It's able to save. And Lord, I pray that we will be carriers of Your gospel. We will be of the heavenly Jerusalem. As You write there, Lord. And that we will walk as You want us to walk, Father. And as you sit there, I want to ask you to respond to this word, to what God has been speaking to you. Maybe He's just been watering something in your heart. Or you need to change your perspective of what ministry is, what working for God is. And there's some lie or there's some mindset that you just caused you to hang back. Some not. I'm not this, I'm not that, or I don't have this, I don't have that. And would you just afresh commit yourself to the Lord in that way? So, Lord, here I am. Use me. Even if you say in that prayer, I don't know what I'm going to say, Lord. You know I say simple things at times, or I blabber, or I this. That's, God can work with that. He just wants you available. He wants you engaged. He wants you asking Him and putting out your faith and saying, Lord, use me. That's what He's looking for. He wants you to be a child of promise. Said, if God promised it, I will believe it. I will believe it. Child of promise. Come, let's stand and let's just raise our hands to the Lord as a sign of surrender. So, Lord, we want to trust you. I include myself and each one of us, Lord. We acknowledge we are children of promise. Children of promise, each one of us. Promise to Jesus, the promise through Jesus. And we pray that every promise you have made will find its yes and amen. Yeah, in our midst, Lord. So I pray, God, would you just stir hearts afresh this morning to walk with you, to be who you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, everyone. We see you in the week. You're welcome to have some coffee with us and linger a bit. Be a blessing to your mother, especially today, if you have one. And we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.